This presentation is really a summary of some of the work that we have done on KIH 485, a new product that has been developed by Kumeyaay. I'm going to focus on cotton for this presentation. There's a little bit of other data from some other trials that I'm going to show you. But really, it's just it's a summary of where we see this product maybe having a fit for cotton production in the South. This is a picture that is all too common to a lot of us as weed scientists or who have some level of familiarity with weed science. Every single class of chemistry that we have developed has resulted in the development of resistant weed biotypes to that specific chemistry. On the bottom, you can see the glyphosate. There on the bottom, those are the occurrence of the different resistant biotypes to glyphosate. But the concerning thing to me, the take-home message from this slide is the fact that the pipeline has really dwindled, and we've only had two new modes of action developed in the past 20 years, and the PPO inhibitors and the HPPD inhibitors. So we're having to battle the weed control problems that we're fighting today with basically existing chemistries. And we get asked a lot of times, what has gotten us into this situation? And basically, the fact that glyphosate has done such a wonderful job for us in managing weeds, it's kind of a two-edged sword. And there are some things that as we visit with growers and we get out in the field, there's some things that they tell us that are some pluses to this weed control program that we may not necessarily see in presentations and meetings and things like this. But the safety factor with the growers farming more acres with less labor, the fact that they're basically bringing many bulks of glyphosate to the farm and putting in the back of a truck and loading one tractor with one spray tank with one product and spraying a lot of their farm, it allows them more time to focus on other inputs in that farm operation. In the absence of glyphosate-resistant weeds, our growers can spend more time on managing water, managing insects, managing disease, and it's really helped them to be more profitable growers in a lot of cases. Now, that's, again, in the absence of resistant weeds. And we've rode this horse really well, and I think Larry Steckel, I think he put it best the other day in the general session when he said we've probably seen the glory days of glyphosate weed control in the 2002 to 2004 and 5. But now, with the advent of a lot of resistant weeds, we're up against a lot of challenges. With the outstanding success of really anything, there's always comes challenges, and the challenge that we're up against is glyphosate-resistant weeds that we've heard about so much. Currently, we're investigating multiple populations of Palmer amaranth from the state of Mississippi. Several of those we suspect in some of our initial screenings to be resistant to glyphosate, like almost all the other states around us. So we really know what we're up against with respect to managing weeds with glyphosate. We're basically relying on existing chemistries to manage these weeds, and that's the challenging part of this is we just don't have a lot of new things in the arsenal to manage these weeds from a purely weed chemical standpoint. Fortunately, we have some new traits coming down the line that are going to help us. That's why I am excited about this product and some of the work that we've done. We've seen some outstanding results. Looking at the biological activity of this product, it looks very much like that of metolachlor with respect to mode of action. It appears to interfere with fatty acid synthesis, similar to metolachlor. One striking difference between this product and that of metolachlor is it has a much lower water solubility, which can be looked at from a positive and potentially negative standpoint. And the positive standpoint from that is that The negative standpoint from that is the fact that it does take more moisture to get this activated and to keep it activated, whereas metolachlor is a much higher water solubility. It doesn't take as much moisture to keep it activated. We've seen some issues where limited moisture does inhibit the activity of KIH-485. It has very low use rates, primarily a small seeded grass and broadleaf weed material. And has broad crop tolerance to a multitude of both dicot and monocot crops. Looking back at some of the literature, we've seen a wide range of crop tolerance with respect to cotton. We've seen very low levels of injury to cotton with pre-applications and up to very high levels of injury with pre-applications. And it's, you can't compare apples to oranges with research done by Dodds et al. In 2006 was done in Mississippi, and the work done by Sanders was done on a very, very sandy, coarse-textured soil. The work in Mississippi has done a very fine textured soil, so we can't compare apples to oranges, but a lot of the work that's been done, we can really boil it down to with respect to crop injury on cotton with pre-applications. It is very soil dependent. Overall, we see less injury with post-applications on cotton. This material is primarily right now focusing on corn and soybean acres with respect to getting it registered, but there is some potential down the road, hopefully, for seeing this product in cotton. Overall, less injury with post-applications. It does appear to be environmentally dependent, where when we're under dry conditions, we have thick cuticles. We don't often don't see the level of injury that we do with plants that are not stressed. We've had a lot of moisture, thinner cuticles. So there are some injury concerns there, but with some of the research that we've done here, I think we can overcome a lot of those injury concerns. The work that we have conducted there on the station at Stoneville, we basically separated out into two separate trials, pre and a post trial. We're on a fine sandy loam, a soil that is very characteristic of the soil type that a lot of our cotton is planted on in the Mississippi Delta. And we followed standard agronomic and insect management practices. These research trials were side by side, and they were both fur irrigated 9 times. For the pre-trial, we looked at lower use rates than some of the previous work that's been done. We've looked at use rates up to 4 ounces and have seen sizable amount of injury. So we looked at lower use rates with our pre-applications. We basically looked at those at pre, followed by 3, 2, or 1 applications of Roundup Weathermax. We included some standard pre treatments, looking at Reflex Direct, Caprol, Cotteran, or Prolix 2-0. And again, those pre's were followed by three or two applications of Roundup Weathermax. And then basically a standard of just glyphosate, Roundup Weathermax post-alone treatments. For our post-trial, we looked at, again, lower use rates. We looked at just a 1.25 or 2.1-ounce product applied with Roundup, and those were put out at early, mid, or late post. To give you one example of a treatment, if we put out 485 with Weathermax at early post, that treatment was followed with Weathermax by itself at mid-post and late-post. Also had treatments where we split those 485 applications with basically 1 ounce of product per acre, put out at early post and late post, or early post followed by lay-by. And we really did these treatments to see if, one, when is it most suitable for us to put out this residual product, and two, what length of residual activity do we get out of them? If we put out early post, do we need late post, or can we get to a lay-by before we need that residual product again? And then the standard treatments of just Roundup Weathermax alone. This field had a natural infestation of several small-seeded and large-seeded grass and broadleaf weeds. Jumping to some of the results. We basically saw very, very little injury to cotton with this product, regardless of the rates. This is averaged across rates. This injury was very transient, and overall, we just didn't see a lot of injury with really any of the treatments that we applied. Some of this was primarily due to because it was extremely dry. We had just enough moisture to get a stand, and we really didn't get any moisture for several weeks after that. So some of the potential injury may have been masked by the dry conditions. Cotton injury from the post treatments, again, we had very very minimal injury to the cotton. That injury was transient. The injury, it was more susceptible to injury with smaller cotton. This is characteristic of the type of injury that we observed. It may be difficult to see, but basically the leaves that were exposed at the time of application, we see some type of, it appears to be almost like a solvent type burn. But again, this injury was transient. As the leaves emerged after the application, we didn't see any injury at all with post-applications to that material, that leaf material. Jumping to some of the control data, these are the different products. They're down the right side of the graph. You see an increase in residual activity with the 485 material on Palmer Amaranth. Again, that's some very high levels of residual control with the product. This is approximately 4 weeks after planting or 4 weeks after treatment. 6 weeks after treatment, the ratings fell off. We're still getting excellent residual activity out of the 485 on Palmer Amaranth. And this is very exciting to us because this may be a material that we really can use to battle what we're up against with respect to Palmer Amaranth. I didn't show this slide just to show you a bunch of 100% control ratings, but I wanted to include this to basically tell you that we controlled everything that was there. None of these weeds were resistant to glyphosate. We got 100% control of everything in this trial. But I show you this so that you can remember back on the control ratings that we got with the pre-herbicides, and that's going to be reflective in the cotton yields. Barnyard grass control really was very similar to that of Palmer Amaranth. Excellent control with the 485 material, better than most of the other residual products. That 4 weeks after planting, by 6 weeks, we got a very large flush of barnyard grass to come up. It broke through a lot of these treatments. But again, outstanding activity with the highest rate of 485 at 2-point ounce rate. This was taken from an adjacent trial in another field. This was basically, this is 485 at 3.5 ounces put out. This is a horseweed trial put out with Ignite at 29 ounces. And this picture was taken 90 days after treatment. We looked at this in a burn down type scenario where we put the treatments out in early March. And this picture was taken 90 days after treatment. You see the horseweed in the background. This product is not a horseweed material, but it basically it's outstanding grass activity. The Ignite took out the horseweed. This was Ignite alone. Again, you see that we did a really pretty good job of taking out the horseweed. You see the annual grasses that are in there. So that really gives you an idea of the residual grass activity that this product brings to the table. This is the same treatment, Ignite, but it was with dual magnum at a pint. Again, you see the pretty good level of residual grass activity, but not quite as good as the KRH-485. With respect to barnyard grass control with the Priest, followed by Roundup Weathermax, very similar to Palmer Amaranth, we got 100% control. With the Roundup treatments, but again, I just wanted to show you the impact that these pre-trial treatments had on cotton yield and the fact that we got good control of some of the weed species and the impact they had on cotton yield. Cotton lint yields for the pre-trial, you can see some sizable yield differences with respect to some of the treatments where we did a really good job of managing the Palmer Amaranth and the barnyard grass from a pre standpoint. Those levels were reflected in our cotton yields. So this product has a lot of promise if we can get it in cotton with respect to weed control. For the post-trial, this is 485, the different rates. This is the low rate and the high rate. This is control of Palmer Amaranth 2 weeks after the mid-post and 5 weeks after the early post. This is Roundup Weathermax alone. The Roundup gave 100% control of the existing weeds that were there. We got subsequent flushes, and this gives us an idea of the level of residual activity that we can get out of this product in a post scenario. With respect to barnyard grass control, very similar results. Excellent residual activity out of both rates. Really didn't see a rate response for 485. But again, it gives you some kind of an idea of the level of residual activity that we can get out of this product. Cotton lint yields, didn't have any resistant weed population, so in fact we controlled everything with the Roundup products with every subsequent application. We did not see a yield difference, but I think the take-home message from this presentation is the residual activity that we get out of this material on some very troublesome broadleaf and grass weeds. Some management options with this product that we see for glyphosate-tolerant Italian ryegrass. This is some work that we have done at the same location that I showed you in the previous presentation. Some residual activity that we get out of some different products. KIH-485 is right up there with some of our other products. So we see this product having a really good fit for us if we can utilize it in the fall to manage glyphosate-tolerant Italian ryegrass. This is KH-485 at 4 ounces, applied in the fall, and taken in, this picture was taken in mid-March. So to wrap this up, we see excellent crop safety at some of the lower use rates for cotton. We're looking at higher use rates for corn and soybeans with minimal to no crop injury. For cotton, it is more susceptible, so we're going to have to look at lower use rates. We did see some marginal activity on some larger broadleaf weeds, but it's a product very similar to some of the other fatty acid inhibitors, where it's not going to be a standalone product. I think price will probably dictate this product's fit for us in a burn down market. We've got some other products that are fairly economical that work really well for us in a fall or spring burn down market. So the price is going to drive that. But it's excellent material on small seeded broadleaf and grass weeds and Italian ryegrass, and it is very weak from a residual standpoint on horseweed. So with that, that summarized my presentation, and I'll try to answer any questions. All right.